Okay, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go back on the confession. On the confession, remember, confession builds faith, and confession of a believer's privileges in Christ is what we're going to talk about now. When we know what we are in Christ and think in line with that, when we believe that and confess that, then there can be no failure for us. This is where you find out these new creation realities. You find out what Christ did for you, who He is in you, who you are in Him. And you take that and you start confessing that. One of the goofiest, hardest things for me to do was to sit there and confess that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It took a long time to get untrained from that old school religion and start understanding that I was in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. That's what righteousness means. Right standing. And I actually had this, I got these tapes, some Kenneth Copeland tapes. I was in Midland, Texas. I was going to Bible school, and somebody was talking about listening to Kenneth Copeland, and I said, I heard of him. They said, they looked at me like I was some kind of a Martian. They said, what do you mean you just heard of him? I said, I heard of him. They said, haven't you ever listened to him? I said, I've never listened to nothing of him. I thought they were going to faint. They said, they looked at me seriously, like I was, like, where did you come from? Hadn't listened to Kenneth Copeland. And I said, well, I would like to listen to some of his tapes. Well, come here. Took me into the house. They throwed this closet. It is a huge closet, and it's just stacked full of tapes. They said, grab something. So I sat there and I looked and looked and looked and looked, and I seen this series on righteousness. And it said right standing. I thought, I want that one. So I listened to these tapes over and over and over and over, and I wrote down notes. I took notes and took notes and took notes. But it took a long time to figure out that I was righteous because of what Jesus did and not what I did. And that I was in right standing with God. And these tapes were old, because I remember he was sitting there talking, he said, and I seen this long limousine come driving by. It was a huge long limousine, he said, it was going down the street. That thing must have cost $7,000. Wow. But these tapes were so old that they would stretch. So I had to be very careful with them. And I got through each one of them, wrote down as many notes as I could. But it's the Word of God. It was still alive on those tapes. No matter how old they were, it was still alive on those tapes. Now, last Wednesday, we talked about confession, that it was actually three things. First, affirming something we believe. Second, testifying to something that we know. And third, witnessing for a truth that we've embraced. The major problem for us to face is to know exactly what we are to confess. We're going to be confessing something. People run their mouth. They're, by nature, they run their mouth. Number one, what God in Christ has wrought for us in His plan of redemption. What did He do in His death, burial, and resurrection? Number two, what God, through the Word and the Holy Spirit, has done for us in the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. What we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. What Jesus is doing for us now at the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. What God can do through us, or what His Word can do through our lips. Every time you go through the Bible and you look and you find those things where it talks about in Christ Jesus, circle that thing. Where it says, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, circle that. Where it says, you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, circle that. It's always in Him. If it ever boils down to you, stop. Stop. You don't have the ability to impress God. You don't have the ability to obey the law. No man ever has, except Jesus. And He fulfilled it perfectly. It's only by the blood of Jesus. Now, discovering our privileges in Christ. As we said before, a confession is testifying to something that we know. It is impossible to testify to something that we don't know. There's where meditation comes in. You can know about something or you can know it. When you read through the Bible, you know about it. When you stop and camp on a verse and meditate on that thing, and meditate on it, and get it in your heart, then you know it. And actually, what you've done is you've fellowshipped with Jesus and you've molded together. You came into this covenant relationship and fellowshipped with Him. It is what we personally know about the Lord Jesus Christ and what we are in Him that counts. This is a biggie. You can memorize chapters of the Bible and have a torn up life. I've often said that one verse that you have in your heart that you got a personal revelation of, a rhema word. You got a rhema word. You got a revelation of that one verse. That one verse will take you farther than five chapters memorized. See, the Jewish people had the first five books of the Bible memorized. And it did them little to no good. When it came down to the important part of receiving Jesus, they skipped out on that. They knew the Bible. They knew it. Boom, boom, boom. But they didn't have a revelation of it. First of all, we can know Him personally. And it is of primary importance to be born again. A man must be born again. Jesus said that. A man must be born again. You will not know God personally until you get born again. But just because someone has been born again does not necessarily mean that he is a successful Christian. He must also know what he is in Christ Jesus. When we know what we are in Him and think in line with that, when we believe that and confess that, then there's no failure in it. You can be born again and not understand that you are fully forgiven. I was born again for a long time, and I thought maybe I was just born again, just forgiven just enough to get to heaven. But as far as any of this blessing stuff, any healing, anything like that, I just figured, well, I don't qualify because I'm not good enough. See, I didn't have a revelation of what Jesus actually did in me. But it'll take time of you just sitting by yourself, looking at the Word, reading it, and stopping and seeing some of this stuff and making it personal. One lady told me one time, said, when you don't have any friends and you don't have any prospects and you don't have any money and you don't have anything left but a Bible, you're in a pretty good place. And I thought, man, you are nuts. And one day I found myself where I didn't have any friends, I didn't have any money, I didn't have any prospects. And I could afford to eat 3 times a week, but I had a Bible. That did me more good. That 60 days of just having my Bible as my only refuge did me more good than all the Bible learning I'd ever been through. It took me farther, and it continues to keep me going. So, to discover what we are in Christ Jesus, we must look into the Word of God. Go to the New Testament, primarily the epistles written to the church, and underline with the red pencil every scripture that has the expression. I'd write these down if I was you. In Him, in Christ, and in whom. Better yet, take several sheets of paper and write down all of these scriptures. In Him, in Christ, and in whom. You'll find about 133 of those scriptures. They're there. That's the new creation realities. There's people running around all over the place looking for the next new thing, and they just don't understand that if they'll just get a revelation of the new creation realities and hold on to those tight, that's all they need. You know, that's what the early apostles had. And they tore the world up. They turned the world upside down. Paul and one of his buddies went into a town and had the town in such an uproar, they said, these two fellows have turned our city upside down with their words. They're preaching new creation realities, not the next new song, nothing else. The new creation realities. Peter hadn't even had a revelation of finances yet. And he walked up to a guy and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the guy got up and took off. That's getting a revelation of the new creation realities. There's one scripture in the Bible that says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say anything about praying. It says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You realize in all of my travels and all of my time, I've only had one guy actually come up and he laid his hand on me and didn't say a word. And that verse crossed my mind, and then I thought, well, Mad Dog, I didn't know you knew that verse. But he's not in the church shouting hallelujah all the time. But there was only one guy that ever had the guts to actually do that. His name is Mad Dog. Yeah, our Mad Dog. The moment you find these new creation realities, begin to confess that it is who you are and what you have in Christ. If you will do this, I guarantee that before many days, life will be different for you. You can do the impossible. You can do the things that everybody says you can't do. One of the very first verses I memorized is, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I needed something to grasp a hold of. I needed something to sink my teeth in. And that was a relatively easy verse to remember. Pretty short. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And then pretty soon, I started doing things that these people have been telling me for years. Some of them, all my life. Doing things that they said I couldn't do. And I remember driving home one night, and I was going, and I could hear it inside me, said, wow, I can do all things through Christ, what strengthens me. But it was inside of me. And that got me excited. But see, that's what happens. You start confessing God's word, you find these promises, you find these new creation realities, and you start confessing his word over your life, and over your circumstances, over your challenges, whatever you may be facing, you start confessing his word. And stop looking at the problem, but start confessing his word, but not sitting in the sofa, getting up and doing something. You know, you're putting action to what you believe, even though you don't know the answers, and you don't know exactly what to do, pretty soon you're going to hit a home run. And you're going to be sitting there looking at it, honestly saying, that had to be God because I don't have that kind of talent. That had to be God because of my own ability, I can't do that. Amen. While neither time nor space permit us to go into all of these scriptures, I want to look at just a few. Becoming a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice that expression right there. In Christ. In Christ. What a revolutionary thing for believers to believe and confess. We are new creatures in Christ. We're not just forgiven sinners. You're not a forgiven sinner. You're a new creature in Christ. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. If you're saved by grace, you have no business ever calling yourself a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature. I remember spending a lot of time sitting there wishing that I could just start life over with a clean slate. And I was born again. I didn't know that that's what happened to me. Now here's the thing. As far as God's concerned, you are clean. Whatever has been wrong has been dealt with. People, on the other hand, hold grudges. People, on the other hand, like to just be a pain in the butt. They like to remember things you did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It don't matter. But here's the important thing for you. You need to look at Christians as being on a clean slate. If you're holding a grudge for a Christian, you're not understanding the blood of Jesus. See, we're good about saying, I'm forgiven, I'm saved by grace, and the blood of Jesus has washed away my sins. And then just pound on other Christians. You have to understand this. The blood of Jesus that you're counting on to save your butt from the pit of hell is the very same blood of Jesus that was applied to that man there. And if the blood of Jesus is not good enough for him, how do you expect it to be good enough for you? See, if you're holding a grudge for another Christian, you have a judgment mentality and you're walking in your own self-righteousness. But I shout on saved by grace every Sunday. You're playing a churchy little game that you're going to lose. You have to understand. The blood of Jesus has been applied to other people too. And it's just as good for them as it is for you. And if you're holding a grudge, you're walking in judgment and you placed yourself in the judgment seat of God. And you don't have any business being there. You're not poor. You're not weak. You're not staggering. You're not sinning. You're not barely getting along, church members. We are new creatures, created by God in Christ Jesus. We are new creatures with the life of God, the nature of God, and the ability of God. Have you ever thought about that? The life of God, the nature of God, and the ability of God. He's in there. He's in there. He could do great things through you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Redemption from the curse of the law. Have you ever thought about that? I know we run around saying we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But have you ever really honestly think about that? There's a lot of Christians that run around saying that, that they're redeemed from the curse of the law. But then they're afraid that if they make a mistake, something bad's going to happen. That's the curse. That's the curse. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Notice those words, in whom we have redemption. How thankful we can be that we are not trying to get it. We already have it. And a lot of people that have been sitting in church for a long time trying to get there, hoping somehow they'll be good enough to qualify for his blessings. On your own, you're not going to get there. He's just not. It's in him. It's because of his blood. The shed blood of Jesus is absolutely everything to a Christian. The blood doesn't get talked about enough in churches. The sacrifice of Christ doesn't get talked about enough in churches. A bloodless message is a powerless message. You know, you can go to the bookstore and you can find books about God chasers, God finders, God seekers, all these other kind of, all these books. Go in there and try to find a book about the blood of Jesus. See, the devil understands the blood more than most Christians do. He still cuts blood covenants with people. I've studied some of these people that have gotten in trouble with cults, and they one guy said he was sitting in class and he seen a beautiful girl that he wanted to go out with, and he said he had no chance at all. Dell said, I'll make that happen. And he said, okay. And he said, write it out on paper. So the guy wrote it out on paper. So the guy said, well, when does this happen? He said, no, I need the blood. I said, what do you mean? The guy actually cut his thumb so he could bleed. Put it on that paper. And he was going out with that girl the next day. That's a blood covenant. It's a satanic blood covenant. We're in a blood covenant. We're in a heavenly blood covenant. And we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is our covenant head. We've got a beautiful blood covenant. The only thing is, we have to operate it. And we do that with the words of our mouth. Remember, the Bible says, as a man believes in his heart, so is he. There's too many Christians running around feeling like rat finks, feeling like they're always going to be a failure. Well, my dad was a failure. My grandpa was a failure. I'm going to be a failure. And these are born again. There's people going to churches every Sunday that think, basically, they don't know whether they're going to heaven. They said they don't know. Nobody knows till you get there or not. Like, What are you going to do? You going to flip a coin? Honestly. That's why it's so important for people to read the Bible for themselves. Too many people wait for the pastor to tell them what they need to believe. That's stupidity. One girl told me, said, well, we believe that the conference has to take a scripture and they look at it and then they tell us whether we need to believe it or not. I said, are you kidding me? I said, are you stupid? Evidently, she married a Muslim. See, this is the importance of picking this thing up and looking at it and reading it for yourself so you can have that witness inside of you. Remember, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance, but he's got to have something in there to bring to your remembrance. And then don't be like me. You know, I read the Bible. The Holy Spirit woke me up one night. Said, I want you to open up to this chapter and verse. And I said, there's not even a book called that in the Bible. So I go back to the list of books in the Bible. I found, oh, by golly, there is one. Opened it up to that verse. And said, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit. Thus saith the Lord. I keep learning about that scripture and learning about that scripture and learning about that scripture. The more you try to force it, the more you try to control it, the more you try to gauge it and do this and do that, instead of just shutting your mouth and letting the Holy Spirit do what he's got to do, you're going to have a hard existence on this earth. The more you try to figure it out. Just let God be God in your life. People can justify almost anything with these scriptures. Usually it's a justification for non-action, but let God be God and step out and do something and watch him show up and show off. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon us in these new creation realities, all these things that Jesus has done for us. Father, we thank you for the cross and the shed blood, and we thank you for you being in us and being our protector, our provider, our source of life. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.